I need the occasional fog horn to switch out with the clown horn. And the mouse glitched out. That's why I screwed up the intro. But anyways, this is Pure Decking, show number 465 for Thursday, February the... What the hell is today? The 2nd?
3rd.
3rd.
Missing a day.
I've lost time. Oh, my God. Or there's just an error on my calendar. Either way, Thursday, February the 3rd for 1966. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you that fake internet points do not pay the bills. Just in case you haven't figured that out yet. You know, there's an interview with the guy on Fox we can reference if you want to know for sure. But, anyways, I'm Morps. I have... bottle of bourbon barrel ale. We have a madman. What's up, madman?
I've got some Four Roses I'm sipping on, and I'm going to go with You Miss Time, because then we can go with alien abductions and all kinds of fun conspiracy theories, or as they've been come to be known, spoiler alerts.
Forget. And we have an RU.
Yes, and I live in the most nanny state fucking country in the world, and I can prove it to you with this simple story from this morning. As I was buying cigarettes, and a young man came rushing up next to me, and he said to the woman at the counter, can I have a lighter, as in a cigarette lighter? And she went, can I see some ID? And I went, whoa, young man, one sec, why do you need to see his ID? He's not buying tobacco products, he just wants a lighter. And I said, do you need ID to buy a lighter now? And she goes, no. I said, why are you checking his ID? And she said, well, he looks under 18. I said, fucking what? And she went, yeah, I can't sell you a lighter unless you're over the age of 18. I said, so you're telling me that what man's been able to do since the dawn of time, since he went fucking upright, is now illegal under the age of 18?
The actual literal spark of civilization.
Exactly.
Is denied so to children.
That's what you're telling me. A man who navigated through the car park of a busy shopping center is too irresponsible to have fire. And she went, well, I don't make the rules. I said, well, you're fucking enforcing them, aren't you, you silly cunt? And he got his lighter without showing ID.
And that's one more story. You're not allowed back in, right?
Oh, no doubt. look, if it was tobacco products, fair enough. Then I just would have said to the kid, what's your brand? I'll meet you outside. I'll get them for you, buddy. Don't worry about it. I support your choice. Like, how fucked up is that, dude? So my day was wrecked from the fucking start. I'm probably going to get woo flu after that. As of January 1, it's illegal to sell cigarette anything that can create fire to underage. So, yeah, that's where we are in the state of fucking Australia.
So okay. What happens if they find a rock that sparks out in the woods? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know, man.
Grew up lighting up bundles of bottle rockets with a blowtorch so you could get the entire package in one go. And now you can't get a lighter if you're under 18.
Yeah.
What do they think you're going to do? Light a trash can on fire?
Dude, I didn't make the law, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let anyone fucking enforce the law when I'm standing there. I will shit shame you till Sunday, man. Fire is the fucking yardstick of civilization. But anyway, sorry, just had to get that off my chest.
Hey, it's a much better story than I was going to open up with about bitching about my file server. So, I mean, you know.
And I'll try and make it more about 3D printing next week.
I've got a 3D printing story. It's not terribly interesting, though. Short version, I built a big 3D printer. And it doesn't fit where I was going to put it. So, it's like, damn it. Didn't London want to put GPS trackers in kitchen knives? Fuck, I don't know.
That wouldn't surprise me, dude.
I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, wrap everyone in saran wrap, put the bubble head or the bubble wrap helmet on their head, and just, you know, no sharp corners now because everyone's a toddler.
I got a good one. We're having a fucking national inquiry into why old people die.
Because they're old.
I know, but we've got to have a Yeah, I could have told you that too, but they're having an inquiry into why people in old age care facilities have been dying lately. But yeah, anyway. The world is a completely sane place.
He's saying he had to file the $5. Oh, yeah. I did mine. I got so many questions about cryptocurrency. And it's like, did you sell any cryptocurrency? No. I haven't sold any cryptocurrency in years. I've got
You're
a little bit
about
left
taxes,
from it.
People.
Yeah. It's I mean, absolutely fucking stupid. Lawmaker talked about it in the UK a few years ago. Police department social media profiles posting standing in front of dangerous weapons confiscated off the street, and it's all just kitchen knives.
Yeah, I've seen those photos. They're fucking hilarious. I like the one where they had a hockey stick. Got rid of this dangerous weapon. Like, yeah.
I was going to play street hockey. Now I can't play street hockey.
Dude, like, the
what's
boomers
next?
Are somebody obsessed with not dying, man.
They're going to be arresting kids. They're going to be arresting kids who pick up a stick to walk along, you know, popping it against a fence. Aren't they?
And they're just obsessed with not dying. We have to get over this fucking risk.
It's an offensive weapon, that is. It's like, come on.
Yeah, the risk aversion that boomers seem to have is fucking retarded.
Well, you can have a safe country or you can have a free country. The two do not intersect.
Unfortunately, we have neither. Mm-hmm. Oh, they just opened up the health hotels for people today. The health facility with the double inner fence with the razor wire and electricity on it. But it's for your health. Don't worry.
Damn. They put you on a strict diet. I might have to check in because that's the only way I'm going to stick to a diet.
I am pretty sure my government will kill me for my own well-being at this point.
Well, you know, those unacceptable ideas you're walking around with.
Oh, hell yeah. I've got a lot of them. I mightn't be able to say it out loud, but I'm fucking thinking it.
So... And Rats is correct. In the U.S., it's more about covering your ass so you don't get sued. You're right. That is absolutely a thing. So, fuck, I don't
Coffee
know.
Coffee hot. Give me millions.
I don't know. I had my parents' visit this week, and my dad watches Fox News religiously, so that's all that was on in the house while he was here, which is kind of a thing because I don't have cable. So we had to figure out how to get him his Fox News through the internet. So it's just...
Like, you can stream any television show or movie you want. It might not even be released yet, Dad. I can show you how to watch it on my TV here.
He wanted his live Fox News.
I gotta get my Tucker.
Good man. I mean, at least he watches TV Daddy, so he knows how to think day by day.
Oh my God! I'll tell you something when we get off the show. Are you? Because I don't want to repeat it on air. Have we talked about Lori Lightfoot yet, mayor of Chicago? Hang on. I think we have a sound clip.
Please clean my fish tank.
I think we got a sound clip.
I'm a bit tired of hearing people saying, I don't know how to do my job properly. And I think that's really mean. I remember being criticized. Just remind everybody.
Okay, it's not Lori Lightfoot, but
I
assume she sounds similar.
I hope everybody likes staying at home because we are going to go into lockdown forever. Nobody from New South Wales is going anywhere. We will have 2 million police officers standing at the corner of every street to monitor every single citizen. We're really watching very closely. I hope this really will be devastating. We don't like to be heavy-handed, but what we need to to say today now is that if you leave home, we will give you a death sentence. Please know that you will be shot in the face, and I hope it's painful. You are required to obey what we say, when we say it, and if you don't, you can prepare to die. I've said from the outset, I don't care about your life and the life of those around you. I don't really give a shit. The government is now about to announce what we call the final solution. We are inspired by history and realise we can very easily, permanently get rid of anybody thinking illegal thoughts. We aim to have absolutely zero freedom. Follow the rules or else you'll never be seen again. If you think you can live freely under our very strict and harsh regime, I have news for you. If you even consider breaking the rules, I will personally stab you in the head and rip your guts out. We have 24 hours surveillance of every single person in the community. We want to cause anguish, hurt and suffering to as many citizens as possible. Today at 11 o'clock, every citizen in this state must listen to me. This is the Fourth Reich, and I will make sure that I never, ever, ever give up power till the day I die.
Does anyone else think she reminds them of, like, a Molly?
Not following you there, man.
It's a fish.
I always thought she looked kind of like a frog. But the woman the woman we were making fun of in the audio clip, wasn't she out of office at, like, you know, a couple of weeks after that sound clip was made?
Pretty much, yeah. She went for corruption.
So
taking money and bribes.
Al Hazard, link on the Chicago stuff, because that's just off the top of my head ages ago. I'd have to go Googling it. If you're wanting the audio clip, I don't remember where I got it, or you sent it to me. Oh, you want the link on the audio? Let's see. I think it was called Gladys Berkenstein Takes Over the World on YouTube. I clipped it off there.
Be out there. It's the actual person speaking is called Gladys Berejiklian, New South Wales Premier, previous Premier.
You got it? Cool. Okay.
Now, what's the first story of the evening?
First story is from computing.co.uk. Trouble ahead for ad tech as consent pop-ups are ruled illegal. You know, those little things that come up say, can we put a cookie on your computer for every fucking website these days because of the GDPR? Yeah, the judges are saying that's not good enough.
Okay.
So, consent pop-ups not sufficiently clear. IAB Europe fined, and ad tech firms including Google, Amazon, and Microsoft must delete data gathered through transparency and consent framework. The Belgian Data Protection Authority has found that the transparency and consent framework developed by advertising body IAB Europe does not comply with the GDPR. The framework, which is responsible for the pop-ups that greet users on 80% of European websites and is used by Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and other advertisers to obtain consent, contravenes a number of provisions in the GDPR, the DPA found. The OpenRTB real-time bidding system used by advertisers, which is closely entwined with TCF, will also be affected by the ruling. IAB Europe has always argued that the TCF pop-ups enable users to make informed choices about what happens to their data and are thus compliant with GDPR. IAB Europe has also argued that it's not a data controller under the GDPR with respect to processing user consent. However, the Belgian DPA disagrees on both counts. It found that the system is not sufficiently transparent in allowing users to make an informed decision, and the activities of IAB Europe make it a data controller, thus responsible for safeguarding personal data. Under the TCF scheme, users' preferences are shared with organizations that participate in OpenRTB in the form of an encoded packet, a TC string. This allows the organizations to know that the user has consented or objected via their browser. However, the system also drops a EU consent-v2 cookie on the user's device to store consent data. When combined with the preferences, this can be linked to the IP address of the user, making the author of the preferences identifiable. Thus, under the GDPR, the consent information is personal data. The Belgian DPA identified several ways in which the IAB has infringed on the GDPR, including failing to establish a legal basis for processing and sharing the TC string, using pop-up designs that make it hard for users to easily understand and control what's happening with their data, neglecting to implement the principle of data protection by design and by default, and failing in other duties, including properly accounting for its personal data processing. On the question of its status under the GDPR, the watchdog found that IAB Europe is, quote, acting as a data controller with respect to the registration of individual users' consent signal, objections, and preferences, and by means of a transparency and consent string, which is linked to an identifiable user, unquote. Quote, this means that IAB Europe can be held responsible for possible violations of the GDPR, unquote, it said in a statement. The Belgian DPA imposed an administrative fine of 250,000 euros on IAB Europe and ordered the company to come up with the measures to bring the TCF into compliance with the GDPR within 2 months. The ruling also prohibits the use of, quote, legitimate interest, unquote, a loophole used by publishers and advertisers as the basis for processing of personal data by organizations participating in the TCF. Decision was made in agreement with 27 other EU data protection authorities and is immediately binding and enforceable across the EU. IAB Europe can appeal. Oh, that's a name. Heikel Heismans, chairman of the litigation chamber of the Belgian DPA, said, quote, the processing of personal data, capturing user preferences, under the current version of the TCF is incompatible with the GDPR due to an inherent breach of the principle of fairness and lawfulness, unquote. He continued, quote, people are invited to give consent, whereas most of them don't know that their profiles are being sold a great number of times a day in order to expose them to personalized ads, unquote. Heijmans added that although the judgment concerns the TCF and not the whole OpenRTB real-time bidding system, it will have a, quote, major impact, unquote, on the protection of personal data. Companies that access data collected through TCF must delete it, quote, without undue delay, unquote, the ruling says. According to the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, which was one of the organizations that brought the original complaint against the IAB Europe to the Belgian DPA, this includes Google, Amazon, and Microsoft. The Irish Council's
stripping away liberties like there's no tomorrow.
Irish Council says 80% of websites in Europe use the TCF to manage user content. Dr. Johnny Ryan of the Irish Council welcomed the IPA's move. Quote, today's decision frees hundreds of millions of Europeans from consent spam and the deeper hazard that their most intimate online activities will be passed around by thousands of companies, unquote, he said. You have no idea the difficulty in not putting a bad Irish accent on that guy's quote. I mean, it's just right there and would not go away. I didn't do it. I refrained. But I had to try really, really hard. Belgian DPA's ruling will send a shockwave through the online advertising industry in the same way, albeit on a smaller scale, to the collapse of the EU-US data transfer mechanism Privacy Shield. As well as forcing IAB Europe and its members to rethink their business models, it's another sign that Europe's DPA are increasingly willing to act on breaches of the rules. In January, the Austrian DPA ruled that Google Analytics also breaks the GDPR, prompting the ad tech giant to urge negotiators to redouble their efforts to come up with a replacement for Privacy Shield. So, the article is ad-walled for you? That's weird. Because it's not for me, and I run like 3 ad blocks and a DNS block, so I don't know. Does that computing.co.uk come up for you guys?
It works for me, man.
Huh. It comes up ad blocked for me.
Oh, really?
It's a 50-50.
That's strange. So... but so Europe is actually taking the GDPR pretty serious. Now that fine is nothing for that advertising company. That's like you know what they make in 15 minutes, right? Selling profiles. But it's interesting because it makes me wonder what they're going to actually allow. I mean, they're basically going to try to say that personalized ads are just not allowed, which I'm all for. I think that's fine. But, I'd like to see personalized ads go away just because it wastes so much effort and cycles on systems these days. But,
I got the same story just on a different website, and lo and behold, there's an accept all cookies pop up on the data collection. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, and if you hit decline on those, the websites will say, sorry, can't load.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it might as well not
anyway.
Be there.
I don't even fucking click on them, dude. I just read what I need to read and leave.
I mean, I'm literally building multiple computers so that I can segment my activity so that they don't get lumped together. So it's fine. It's what it is. But anyways, so
on
yeah, I
this,
mean, go for
I think
it.
It's just going to go back to the good old days of the internet where you just have the generic banner ads and fewer people tracking you.
No.
Or are they just going to find another way of getting your consent surreptitiously?
Well, they're just going to flat out
consent away.
They're just going to flat out say, by using this website, you agree to these terms. And if you don't agree to them, it's going to be like the ad blocks, right? It's just going to be fine. You can't use our system. You know, if you're running ad block, page won't load. If you don't consent to, you know, personalized data collection, the page just won't load.
Yeah, okay.
The whole implied
segmenting.
It's the whole implied contract people talk about between advertisers and ad block, right? It's like, yeah, you know, they'll just formalize it.
I'm actually not opposed to that. So long as you're not trying to secretly worm things onto my computer, I can see someone saying you're not allowed to look at this. Okay, well, you don't get to add stuff to my computer. I don't get to look at your website.
Well,
I'll go look at a different website.
And Al Hazard has it right in the IRC that because so much of the internet is dependent on ad revenue, and a lot of those ad revenue numbers are crazy inflated, but I don't know. It's weird because there's got to be something coming for it, because otherwise how are they generating the income in the first place, right? But yeah, I mean, those ads are how these web pages are funded. You know, that's how they make their money. And it's how Google, you know, ads are how Google is gotten as big as it is, right? So, you know, they've got to be doing something. But so many people they've done studies that most people don't even look at the ads anymore. They've gotten so used to just ignoring them. You know, it's the same reason cable TV ads try to be funny or shocking, because otherwise you just, you know, tune them out.
Yeah.
So
I can just see more and more pages going to subscription models.
Well, I mean, you're already kind of seeing that with, admittedly it's political, but I mean, you see people who get kicked off of platforms, so they try to spin up their own websites, or they're worried they're going to get kicked off platforms, so they try to build up their own. You know, Blaze does that. Tim Pool's trying to do that. I'm sure Rogan's working on that in the background with all this Spotify shit.
If he's not, he's a fucking idiot.
So, but yeah, a lot of these, I think you're right. I think in the long run, you'll see it start being subscription based. Which, admittedly, you know, if you paid a monthly fee to use Facebook, or a site like a Facebook, I bet it'd be a much more pleasant place. Because, for one thing, you wouldn't have all the sock puppet accounts, because that'd be fucking expensive. I mean, you'd still have companies doing. I've got a story about that later. But you wouldn't have, most regular users would, you know, they're paying for it. They don't want to get banned, right? So
yeah.
they'd behave a lot better. But you wouldn't be the product. You would be the customer. So suddenly the whole company, the focus of the company would change. Now, you know, the question there is the pricing reasonable for the service provided? And I'm betting for what Facebook would want to replace the advertiser revenue per user, it probably would not be. But
I can see a shift. And you would have the normal user free, but then start charging businesses. There's a lot of businesses that their website is a Facebook page.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyways, though, speaking of companies that have entirely too much control over shit. This one's funny. Facebook says Apple's iOS privacy change will result in $10 billion revenue hit this year. Now, I fully agree with that, because iOS is like half of the mobile market, right?
Yeah.
And because they're, you know, right now they're doing the cat and mouse thing where Facebook's trying to add more ways to do the tracking they used to do, and iOS is trying to shut it down with updates. But, yeah, when Facebook said on Wednesday that Apple's app tracking transparency feature would decrease the company's 2022 sales by about $10 billion. Facebook's admission is the most concrete data point so far on the impact to the advertising industry from Apple's privacy change introduced last year. Privacy features disrupt the behind-the-scenes mechanics of many mobile ads, especially those that confirm whether a purchase or download was made. So Facebook parent Meta said on Wednesday that the privacy change Apple made to its iOS operating system last year will decrease the social media's company sales this year by about $10 billion. Quote, we believe that the impact of iOS overall is a headwind on our business in 2022, unquote. Meta CFO Dave Werner said on a call with analysts after the company's fourth quarter earnings report. It's on the order of $10 billion, so it's a pretty significant headwind for our business. Facebook's admission is the most concrete data point so far in the impact to the advertising industry of Apple's app tracking transparency feature, which reduces targeting capabilities by limiting advertisers from accessing an iPhone user identifier. Meta shares sank 23% in extended trading on Wednesday after the company warned about the numerous challenges and came up short on user numbers. Facebook said first quarter revenue will be $27 billion to $29 billion, while analysts were expecting a number that exceeded $30 billion. Now think about that for a minute here. They're bitching about losing $10 billion over a year, but their first quarter is $27 to $29 billion. On a website that does not charge its users to use it. That's a lot of ads.
I mean, no one here is shocked. But they want more money.
They don't make anything.
Yeah.
And they're making $30 billion a quarter.
Think of how much they're going to make when everything is a service. When life is a service, because that's what they want.
Quote,
it's going to be amazing.
Quote. Oh, go ahead.
If they actually provide a service, I wouldn't feel so strange. But I don't know that they provide any service, because everything I can think of on Facebook existed on BBS or existed before Facebook.
So, Mad Men, they don't provide a service to you or to me. They don't produce a service to you or me. To you or I, you know, sure, they've got all these things that you might want to do on the platform. You know, talk to other people using it, do polls, all the other, you know, games, the other crap they put out there for Facebook. You know, the chat.
But what are they making on Facebook Marketplace?
You know, I have no idea. I've not used it. I haven't looked.
Yeah, I know that's a huge thing.
But their customer are people selling ads to their user base. They take those user counts, and then they're able to use that and turn around and, sell, and go to companies and say, you know, give us an ad, and we'll put it in front of X number of users who meet these targets, and then they charge, you know, money for it. That's their product. Their product is their user base.
Thinking how much General Motors must spend on ads for it to be $27 billion in a quarter. And I know it's not just one company, it's a bunch of companies, but still, that is crazy retarded.
Yeah. Quote, we're just estimating what we think the overall impact of the cumulative iOS changes to where 2022 revenue forecast is, unquote, Werner said. Quote, if you aggregate the changes we're seeing on iOS, that's an order of magnitude. We can't be precise on this. It's an estimate, unquote. Apple first introduced the AT&T feature in iOS, AT&T, the ATT feature in iOS 14.5, which was released for iPhones last year. It's also included in iOS 15, which is running on 72% of modern iPhones, according to Apple. ATT consists of pop-ups that ask users whether they want to be tracked when opening an app. If the user says no, the app developer can no longer access the IDFA, a device's ID that's used to target and measure the effectiveness of online ads. A study from ad measurement firm AppsFlyer in October suggested that 62% of iPhone users were opting out of sharing their IDFA. Because of course they are. You know, it's like, hey, can we stick this probe right up your ass and follow everything you do online? No, thanks. I'd rather you didn't. Oh, fuck you. You know, I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. And I guarantee we haven't seen it yet, probably just because Apple... probably because Apple would start rejecting the apps from the App Store, but eventually you're going to start seeing apps that come up and say, oh, you didn't allow us to collect your IDFA? Yeah, you're not allowed to use us.
Yeah, don't want your app then. Fuck off.
Well, that's probably the truth. That's probably the truth. But, yeah. Probably see a reduction in the number of free apps, but I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather pay the $5 one time for a good app if it doesn't have ads and doesn't do all this shit, you know? Or more. I mean, some of these things get expensive, but, you know, I would rather pay for an app that does a good job and doesn't and isn't fucking full of ads. Now, I don't like the subscription model you're seeing a lot of them want to go to. Especially some of them are damned expensive. You know, hey, you were talking about 3D printing earlier. There's an iPad app called Sharper 3D that is, I mean, it's retardedly expensive for an iPad app because they want something like $100 a year to use it. I get that it's CAD and CAD software is not cheap, but holy crap, you know? So.
We'll be looking back into the good old days when you could actually buy software and own it.
Yeah, really. The privacy feature disrupts the behind-the-scenes mechanics of many old mobile ads, especially those that confirmed whether whether a purchase or download was made. iPhone apps with targeted advertising can instead use the SK Ad Network, an Apple tool built as an alternative, which Apple says is more private. Online advertising companies have voiced their displeasure with the feature since it was first announced in June of 2020, and Facebook has been the loudest in its criticism. In December of 2020, Facebook ran a marketing campaign, including a full-page ad in a major newspaper, blasting the feature and saying the change was about profit, not privacy. Next day, Apple CEO Tim Cook used Facebook's app in a tweet as an example of how the feature works. And I mean, nice. You know, that's some nice corporate level trolling, right? Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook's operating chief, said on Wednesday that ATT would hurt small businesses that rely on digital advertising to grow and are much more dependent than larger companies on personalized ads. It's a theme that Facebook has repeatedly hit in its Apple attacks on Apple. Sandberg said the changes are diminishing the accuracy of Facebook's ads, driving up prices based on outcome like a sale or a download. She also said that the measure of whether those conversions occur is becoming more difficult. A day before Facebook's results, Alphabet blew past estimates with its fourth quarter numbers and cited strength in e-commerce ads, an area where Facebook saw weakness. Werner suggested that Apple's changes aren't having the same impact on search as they are of other type of apps. He referenced how much money Google makes for Apple as the default search engine on the Safari browser. Quote, given that Apple continues to take billions of dollars a year from Google search, the incentive clearly for this policy discrepancy to continue, Werner said. So, I mean, make of that of what you will, but I don't know. I mean... Both Apple and Google and Facebook have way too much control in the market right now.
And I don't think breaking them up would do anything at this point.
Well, it depends on how you break them up. If you try to break them up by service, you're going to make a bunch of companies that'll go out of business and then the original one will just come back. If you try to do like what they did with the phone companies, like we were talking about before, that was by region, as Madman pointed out last time we talked about it. And I don't know how you do that with a website. So if you try to break them up into a bunch of, you know, small copies of themselves, well, whoever gets to keep the name wins. So.
Well, that yeah. No one would get the original name. You just have to come up with a new name. But that would kill Facebook, because the whole reason Facebook is everyone is on Facebook. That's the advantage of, that's the reason anyone's on a social media site, is so you can talk to your friends. If your friends aren't there, then you're not there.
Well, hell, Twitter probably would have went out of business a few years ago if Trump wasn't on it.
Yeah.
So,
breaking up Facebook is just killing Facebook. I think Google, you could break it up by product, but then some products are going to have to actually figure out how to be independently self-sustaining, and they might not be. They might just sell their service to something else.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, if you can argue that, well, breaking up my company is just going to destroy the company, I mean, you're not going to end up with a bunch of competing companies. You're just going to end up with no company. I mean, that's an argument against breaking it up, because then you're just, you know, ordering a company to close up out of existence. Is that right? Which, that's not great either. So
I'm not sure how they can make the argument of there wouldn't be anything in that space, because let's say Google for their search function. Yeah, they overwhelmingly dominate the market, but there are other search engines.
Oh, I'm not saying there wouldn't be anything in the space. I'm just saying none of those companies like Facebook would survive. When I'm saying, you know, if you broke up Facebook, I'm saying every company you created out of Facebook, like you said, if they don't get to keep the name, would be out of business within a couple of years. I think that's true. Or if not, we'd be very close to it. But basically, you'd just be decreeing that your company is bad, so you're not allowed to exist. So
that's kind of what a monopoly is saying. Your company is bad.
Yeah, but they're supposed to try to correct the situation, not just destroy a company. So,
well, the market would still be there. There could still be a social network, but it would go back to what it previously was, which was, here's a group of hobbyists discussing on this BBS, and it's not global.
Well, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, Facebook owns WhatsApp and Instagram and a bunch of other stuff, so you could break them up by that, but I don't know what that would do long run. I don't know. I just know it's a mess. But now for something a little bit more interesting. This is from a website called Rest of the World. And we all knew this kind of stuff was going on, but these guys actually detailed it, so it's pretty cool. Exposed documents reveal how the powerful clean up their digital past using a reputation laundering firm. I mean, yeah, we all knew this was going on, right? But this is cool. Listen to this.
Yeah.
In February of 2021... Curium, an organization that provides secure web hosting services for human rights organizations and independent news outlets, received a rambling message from someone whose email signature indicated they were in the legal department of the European Commission. Writing in dense legalese, the representative, Raul Soto, demanded that Curium take action on articles from a Kenyan-based investigative journalism website that it hosts, The Elephant. The articles in question included an investigation into alleged corruption, but Soto's email wasn't about the allegations. Rather, he claimed the piece had infringed upon European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, which governs personal data storage and collection in Europe. Quirum staff were suspicious. A brief investigation revealed that the street address and Soto's signature was not, in fact, that of the European Commission, but rather it was a rented office space in Brussels. Using a publicly available database, they found that complaints were filed to search engines around the same time, claiming that the Elephant article was plagiarized and requesting that the piece be removed and de-indexed from searches, meaning that it wouldn't show up in the first few pages of search engine results. Quirum traced the domain used in Soto's email to a reputation management company called Eliminalia. That's it.
Eliminalia.
Yeah. Minalia.
Are they going for an Illuminati reference? Because I kind of see it.
It's hard to say. Eliminalia, yeah. Registered in 2013 by a Spanish entrepreneur named Diego Dyke Sanchez and headquartered in Barcelona and Kiev. Eliminalia specializes in removing information from the internet. Its tagline is, quote, "We erased your past, help we build your future," unquote, and it promises 100% confidentiality. Now, documents reviewed by the rest of the world shed light on the reputation management industry, revealing how Eliminalia and companies like it may use spurious copyright claims and fake legal notices to remove and obscure articles linking clients to alleged allegations of tax avoidance, corruption, and drug trafficking. The Elephant case may be one of just thousands like it. Metadata, file names, and inclusion of internal company information, including contact details and references to company policies, suggest that the documents originated from within Eliminalia. Alongside names referred to as clients, the documents include URLs that were to be removed or de-indexed on their behalf. The rest of the world spoke to several people and media organizations who ran websites listed in the documents and confirmed that they had been approached by people linked to or directly employed by that company. Among the thousands of names listed as clients in the documents were former foreign minister of the Dominican Republic, an individual indicted in Argentina for his role in cryptocurrency pyramid scheme, and people accused of corruption worldwide, all apparently looking to erase information about themselves from the internet. There are 17,000 URLs that were apparently targeted on clients' behalf between 2015 and 2019, and at least one case, it appears that Eliminalia may have been hired by a third-party reputation management firm on the behalf of a client. It's unclear whether the list represents the entirety of the company's clients, but it includes individuals and companies from Latin America, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, and shows the extent to which services of this kind have become a way for wealthy and powerful individuals to control information on the internet. Maglis Kimlon, head of Eliminalia's legal department, said in an email that the company had, quote, "no contractual relationship," unquote, with any of the people named in the story, and that unfortunately competitors carry out incorrect actions, DMCA, on behalf of Eliminalia and thus try to tarnish the reputation of our company. Sure they do. Sure they do. It's like, oh, no, it's not us. It's our competitors trying to make us look bad. You know, they're going on leaving us bad Yelp reviews and everything. Sorry.
Just own it. Say what you are. It's like, we're going to help clean up your past. We may have to send some people to certain houses to break some knees, but we are well worth what you're spending to clean up your past.
Yeah, the DMCA is a piece of U.S. legislation designed to prevent copyright theft online and can be issued or used to issue takedown requests. Chameleon declined to provide further details. Some of the people who appeared in the documents are private individuals who apparently sought to have explicit videos removed from pornographic websites, but the most prolific users of the service appear to be business people and politicians targeting critical articles. An Eliminalia client agreement from 2021, seen by the rest of the world, shows that the company charged €2,500, or about $2,800, for the removal or de-indexing of each link. In a 2016 interview, Sanchez said that his firm charges some high-profile clientele and businesses a premium rate of around $2,000 to $3,000. The documents apparently show some clients targeting hundreds of articles and pages. Among the names listed in the documents is Miguel Octavio Vargas Maldonado, who appears to be a former foreign affairs minister for the Dominican Republic. His name is listed next to more than 500 links to news articles, blogs, social media posts, and YouTube videos apparently targeted for removal or de-indexing. Many of the articles referring to questions over his political fundraising practices, they include accusations that Vargas had received donations from an individual who would later be convicted of being a drug trafficking. Convicted of drug trafficking. Some of the targeted links remain active, while others now return 404 or file not found. Maldonado could not be reached for comment. Emails to his political party bounced, and his website is currently down. He has previously denied all wrongdoing while in office. The documents also include an individual referred to as Jose Antonio Gordo Valero, who apparently targeted several articles for removal or de-indexing, which refer to the collapse of OneCoin, a Bulgaria-based company later revealed to be an illicit investment scheme. OneCoin drew in investors by pretending to offer them access to high-return cryptocurrency, reportedly raising $4 billion before being exposed as a fraud. The company's founder, Ruja Agatova, disappeared sometime around 2017, but was charged in absent in absentia for money laundering, wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit securities fraud in the U.S. Yeah, it goes on, you know, detailing some of these people and how they've done this. But and there's more details here, but it's basically detailing a bunch of the people they found. But the strategy that this company seems to be using is pretending to be lawyers and sending bogus DMCA takedowns, sending bogus GDPRs, just basically sending scary legal letters to get websites to remove things. And I guess the exorbitant rates are probably not just for the link removal, but probably for doing the discovery work too. Because you know these guys aren't sending over a list of links and saying, get rid of these. They're saying, go find bad things about me on the internet and get rid of that. Right? Yeah. So, and those rates are probably to help cover the legal cost if they get caught impersonating a lawyer.
Yeah, because I believe this is fraud when you say, I'm from the EU, take this down, and you're not from the EU.
I don't know when it comes to EU, but I know the DMCA bad faith complaints can be very expensive. Just because we've covered the DMCA so much and I had to deal with it in previous job. You can basically reverse sue them for pretty much the amount they're trying to get out of you. You know, not the little settlement amount they offer, but like the copyright fine for bad faith DMCA complaints. It can get expensive quick if you get caught doing that. But they're also probably counting on a lot of these websites not having the legal resources to be able to fight it, not having the people with the financial resources to fight it, and not even knowing how to deal with it because, you know, if they go to try to contact the entity that these guys are spoofing, you know, they probably get the legal runaround because of course you do whenever dealing with shit like that, right? So, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we all knew this was going on. Brand management and reputation management is, of course, a thing, right? But I mean, the way this company is operating by just being blatant and operating completely illegally about it is crazy. Especially given what they're charging, I think they would have better luck, contacting them first and saying, "Hey, we'll buy your domain for, you know, $10,000." Because I bet a lot of these small organizations would say, "Okay," you know.
Yeah, but if you're cleaning up one person's identity, how many websites like that would you have to buy?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I could see the fake DMCA complaints being cheaper until you get caught and prosecuted for it.
So, anyways, I mean, it's fascinating. Well,
it is, and the global director has a footprint bigger than you fucking drive a car through. This guy's everywhere. The global director has got fucking heads up PR, fucking client management places all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's not just one company. I've been doing a little digging while we were doing the story. They're essentially a conglomerate of PR companies that have come together to do this. That's what it is. Been chasing the head of the global director. This dude's got fucking fingers in all the big PR companies, man.
I mean, it sounds like something to be fascinating to dig into, especially to see all the different methods they use.
I'm looking, hey. This is not like James Bond shit of like tentacles going everywhere. Like, it's so fucking incestuous too. Because I'm looking at their the CEO, the chief operating officer, global director, communications director, head of legal. All these people fucking crisscross over as either heads of fucking this company, director of that company, the beginning startup capital investor of this company. They have a lot of... I don't know how they have the time to manage all this shit.
I imagine once they set it up, a lot of it just runs itself.
I think so, because a lot of it just looks like shadows, if you know what I mean. I'm looking at these companies, and no one seems to work there, but they have a structural setup of a CEO and everything.
Well, there's probably it's probably a handful of small offices of, you know, like 5 or 6 people who know what the fuck they're doing, and they're all just getting passed shit through all this, and that's all just to mask it, you know.
Most of their accounting departments sort of are in Panama. I don't know whether that's a coincidence or what. Gee, you know,
how interesting.
I'm just starting to look. I'm going to need an algorithm here because I just can't see the data clearly enough.
get you an AI data processing assistant there. You're going to need it.
I mean, dude, they're into construction companies as well. But I'd say this company is just part of an even bigger firm.
Well, I'm glad I've given you a hobby for a while there, aren't you?
Well, you know, this is my hobby, man. You know, that and watching 2-hour fucking IMF lectures and shit like that for shits and gigs. Another Panama fucking office. Holy fuck. Wow.
I would say,
what does the tax department actually do?
I would assume everything but pay taxes.
They're obviously not doing shit because I am just using a little bit of Kung Fu here. And this is starting to show quite a big pattern with Panama and head offices and financial areas.
Well, you know, you could always bundle up a bunch of links and send it off to Interpol and hope somebody doesn't show up to shoot you in the head for it.
Dude, I ain't fucking touching that shit. These guys have more money than fucking, you know, religion at this point. Yeah, a lot of Italian and a lot of Panama stuff. So I don't know what the Italian banking systems are like, but yeah. Ultra and power. May have a lecture. Ah, it's a book I've got to buy. Damn it. Anyway, sorry I took up too much time. That was a little fun dive there.
All right. Time. Shit. We might be 10 minutes long. That's fine. Next article is from PC Gamer. Your graphics card could be used to track you across the web regardless of cookie consent. Just the article. Telling a website to stick its cookie someplace else might not be enough to keep it from tracking you across the web. There are other identifiers that can help narrow down who you are and what you're doing as you travel the Silicon Superhighway. Oh, God, who wrote that?
Oh, no. Not one of these writers.
Jacob Ridley. Get better analogies. Anyways, these techniques rely on tracking the exact configuration of the hardware you're running inside your PC, though researchers suggest this form of hardware tracking could be done with even greater accuracy through something known as GPU fingerprinting. Outlined in a research paper from co-first authors Tamar Lamar of Ben-Gurion University and Naif Mahan of University of Line, CNRS, and their respective teams, the technique nicknamed Drawn Apart takes advantage of minor differences in a user's GPU behavior to uniquely identify them across the web. That could lead to persistent tracking by what the researchers call, quote, less scrupulous websites, unquote, that potentially jeopardizes existing privacy protections on the web, such as cookie consent. The drawn-apart technique works not by only noting the GPU and other specific hardware used by a PC, but actually honing in on a given GPU's specific characteristics. In the researchers' own words, quote, we harness the statistical speed variations of individual EUs in the GPU to uniquely identify a complete system. So, to explain what that means, they're taking a very specific function of your graphics card and benchmarking it. Because there's variation, you know, no two GPUs are exactly the same, right? You're going to get a little variation in it. You're talking about differences of less than a megahertz, right? But, I mean, you know.
Well, enough.
Yeah, it's enough to get a unique, you know, it's like your GPU is likely going to do this same function in the same amount of time. Whereas a different the same build might take a hair longer or a hair shorter.
Also, too, graphical location and time of day and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, they're accounting for all that. To do that, research...
Picture of the author, by the way. That's what that link is.
That's a great picture. You can even watch a video of the researchers. I jumped ahead. To do that, researchers used WebGL to target the GPU shaders with a sequence of drawing operations that are designed to be sensitive to differences across individual EUs. The resulting vector, called a trace, contains a sequence of timing measurements that the team have generated. The differences in the resulting trace information is then able to identify or fingerprint different GPUs, even if they're the same make and model. You can even watch a video of the researchers swapping the CPU and its test machines, and the algorithms tracking accurately maintaining which one is which based on the integrated graphics alone. Researchers say they're able to do this with high accuracy, noting a 67% improvement when used in conjunction with existing fingerprinting algorithms. In a test of over 2,500 unique devices and 371,000 fingerprints, that's an improvement in successfully tracking a user from 18 days with the existing FP stalker fingerprinting algorithm to 30 days when using Drawn Apart with it. So, yeah, substantial improvement. So basically, they go on about it, but yeah, they can benchmark your GPU to get even better tracking. And it's just like, I mean, these guys are getting desperate to keep that personalized advertising. Really desperate. You know what I was joking about earlier about building different computers to do different things?
Yeah,
that wasn't a joke. No, and it's because of shit like this.
That out.
So, anyways, next story is from MacRumors.com, and this one's just funny. Apple AirTag tracking devices with disabled speakers have been spotted on eBay and Etsy, raising privacy concerns about the risks of removing one of the AirTag safeguards. And these things are going for $80.
God damn.
What's an AirTag? $20?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the modified AirTags, dubbed silent AirTags, have had their internal speaker removed so that they are no longer able to emit a sound to highlight their presence. The silent AirTag looks identical to a normal AirTag other than a small hole cut below the device's battery to disconnect the speaker. The Etsy merchant behind one of the product listings, which offered the silent AirTags for $77.50, recently took the item off sale and told PC Mag the intent of this modification was to cater to the several requests of buyers interested in my other AirTag product who were interested in fitting AirTags to their bikes, pets, and power tools. These requests led me to listing it as a product on Etsy without a great deal of traction. The vast majority of sales on my Etsy profile are from sales on my modified slim AirTag, designed to unobtrusively fit inside a wallet or purse. An eBay seller behind a similar listing said that the purpose of the silent AirTag was to ensure that it doesn't keep beeping when away from you, such as if left in a car or bike or with a family member. The silent AirTag purportedly also reduces the chances of a thief being notified of its hidden location. At the current time, an AirTag begins emitting a sound between 8 and 24 hours after being separated from their owner to flag its location. While the motives behind the silent AirTag appear to be innocent, their sale has alarmed some privacy advocates online. Eva Galprin, a director of cybersecurity and Electronic Frontier Foundation, tweeted about her concern for the secondary market for modified AirTags with the speaker disabled for stealth mode, and noted any item that works for the purpose of catching a thief in this manner is also a perfect tool for stalking. That's where Apple advertises them as tools for tracking lost items and not stolen ones. AirTags have been increasingly linked to criminal activity in recent months, including vehicle thefts and stalking cases. While AirTags automatically alert iPhone users as well as Android users with the Tracker Detect app installed, when an unknown tracker is traveling with the victim via a notification, the speaker is the AirTag's only anti-stalking mitigation that works automatically and does not depend on the tracked person having a phone. In addition to releasing the Tracker Detect app for Android, Apple has also shared a personal safety user guide and added the ability to scan for nearby trackers and updated the AirTag's firmware with shorter intervals between emitted sounds. Despite these measures, the AirTag's anti-stalking safeguards have been criticized as insufficient. And there were several news stories about people, you know, slipping AirTags onto other people to track them. So,
made a tracking device. People are going to use it for everything they use tracking devices for.
Exactly.
So, I love the fact that the modified AirTag is just, you know, it's got a hole drilled in it to break the speaker. Which means, you know, he's charging $80 for something that costs $20 that he's drilled a hole into and probably has made a little template to accurately drill the location, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, when you're paying an engineer, it's not so much where you drill a hole or what you hit with the hammer. It's knowing precisely where and how hard to do it.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Last article I have for tonight, and I definitely wanted to get to this one. Just because it's sad. This is from CNN.com. NASA plans to retire the International Space Station by 2031 by crashing it into the Pacific Ocean.
Oh. They couldn't move its orbit to, you know, a much more useful location and then just, I don't know, sell it to anyone?
Yeah, sell it to SpaceX or something, right? I mean... NASA intends to keep operating the International Space Station until the end of 2030, after which the ISS would be crashed into a remote part of the Pacific Ocean known as Point Nemo, according to newly published plans outlining its future. Launched in 2000, the space lab has orbited 227 nautical miles above the Earth with more than 200 astronauts from 19 different countries enjoying stints aboard, representing a continuous human presence in space. NASA said that commercially operated space platforms would replace the ISS as a venue for collaboration and scientific research. Quote, the private sector is technically and financially capable of developing and operating commercial low Earth orbit destinations with NASA's assistance. We look forward to sharing our lessons learned and operating experience with the private sector and help them to develop safe, reliable, and cost-effective destinations in space. Unquote, said Phil McAllister, director of commercial space at NASA headquarters in a statement. Quote, the report we have delivered to Congress describes in detail our comprehensive plan for ensuring a smooth transition to commercial destinations after retirement of the International Space Station in 2030, unquote. In the International Space Station transition report, NASA said the plan for the ISS was to fall to Earth in an area known as the South Pacific Ocean Uninhabited Area, also known as Point Nemo. The report said that its budget estimate assumed the deorbit would happen in 2031, or in January of 2031. Named after the submarine sailor Jules Verne novel's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Point Nemo is the point in the ocean that is farthest away from land and has been a watery grave for many other spacecraft. The area is approximately 3,000 miles off of New Zealand's eastern coast and 2,000 miles north of Antarctica, and it's estimated that spacefaring nations such as the U.S., Russia, Japan, and European countries have sunk more than 263 pieces of space debris there since 1971. The report said the ISS would perform thrusting maneuvers to ensure safe atmospheric entry. The ISS won't rest on its laurels for the next 8 years. NASA said the goal for the next decade include using the ISS as an analog for a Mars transit mission. According to one report, the International Space Station is entering its third and most productive decade as a groundbreaking scientific platform in microgravity, said Robin Gates, director of the International Space Station at NASA headquarters, said in a statement. Quote, this third decade is one of results, building on our successful global partnership to verify exploration and human research technologies to support deep space exploration to continue to return medical and environmental benefits to humanity and lay the groundwork for commercial future in low Earth orbit. Quote, we look forward to maximizing these returns to the space station through 2030 while planning for a transition to commercial space station destinations that will follow, unquote. Space station has been a home to many scientific firsts. The first item to be 3D printed on the space station occurred in 2014. NASA astronaut Kate Rubin sequenced DNA in space for the first time in 2016. And the fifth state of matter, called the Bose-Einstein condensate, was produced in space by NASA's Cold Atom Lab on the station in 2018. Astronauts have learned how to grow lettuce and leafy greens in space. The first space-grown salad was sampled by astronauts in 2015. Now they're even growing radishes and chilies on the station. This could be used to one day help astronauts grow their own food on deep space missions. China, whose astronauts have long been excluded from the ISS, launched the first module of its planned space station last year. While not as large as the ISS, Chinese space station is expected to be fully operational by the end of the year. Russia said it would leave the It said it will leave the ISS project in 2025 and plans to build its own space station that could launch in 2030. I'm kind of surprised that they're just going to crash it in the ocean. I would think they would want to disassemble it and, you know, maybe bring parts of it back or, you know, reuse components of it. Maybe that's not feasible, but I'm kind of surprised that the decision is just to scuttle it and crash it into the ocean, you know?
Yeah, I can understand not bringing parts back. I can see that as possibly being unviable, but selling parts to be used on other space stations, because it's all modular. They could take it apart and attach it to something else.
I mean, it's got way too many miles on the clock, Madman. Never get a good price for it.
What you do is you get a power drill and you find the little thing on the odometer.
Wind it back.
Or, I don't know, see if anyone would be willing to purchase it and continue using it, because it's... Are they just saying it's going to be so outdated it'll be worthless at that time?
Well, I'm sure a lot of the technology on it is probably outdated by now, but I feel like that's a solvable problem, because as long as the wiring is not useless, you can always swap out modules. Like I said, I would think you could sell it to like SpaceX or whatever Bezos' operation is. You know, you'd think one of those guys would have an interest in buying the damn thing.
I know one problem we have with it is the orbit it was placed in to make it financially viable for Russia to launch to it is the wrong orbit for doing layoffs to, like, Mars or something.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, Al Huzard in the IRC is saying it's pretty old. Why would you pay to fix it when your new one is probably cheaper? Because it's already in orbit. So you're correct. Building a new space station is probably cheaper than fixing that one, but getting the damned thing in orbit isn't. That is still insanely expensive. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's still a lot of material that's just floating around up there.
It's shipping a computer to swap out a module. Like a computer component, may be cheaper than shipping the entire section of spaceship, is what I'm thinking.
Well, like, and again, that's the whole, it's already in orbit is where I'm coming from with that.
Yeah, I was just thinking with a lot of the computer, a lot of the electronics would be outdated. Me grabbing an updated computer and sticking it in my house is cheaper than building a house and putting a new computer in it. And I might be oversimplifying it with my thinking.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how integrated some of this stuff is, right? But it that analogy works if your house is someplace where getting the new computer module to it is insanely expensive, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, weight, it is a thing. But I don't know. I can think of a lot of interesting ideas for building new stations in orbit and things like that. And maybe there are better things where they can, you know, because I know there were some theories about inflatables, right? You know, you inflate something and then coat the inside of it in concrete so it hardens up and shit like that. But, I mean, you still got to get the damn thing up there, right?
Yeah. I wonder if they've made any progress on space elevators. It's been forever since I've looked at it. I know DARPA was experimenting with it for a bit.
I don't know. But we're about 10 minutes over, so let me do this real quick. So what I found for Dojo today is pretty cool. This it's a Medium article by AZ Knows. And he has put together a really good introduction and start on a guide for Audit D. Now, I'm not expecting anybody here to know what that is. Audit D is the audit daemon that ships as part of the Linux kernel. Every Linux machine already has this thing, but most people leave it turned off because they don't know what it is. And you do have to be careful with it because you can bog a system down with it. But essentially, it's built into Linux. You can give it a set of rules so that when one of those rules trips or, you know, the event occurs that you're telling it to monitor for, it generates a log entry. And once it's in a log entry, you can ship that log off to a SIM. You can, you know, have something happen by monitoring that log directly. There's all kinds of things. But if you're wanting to build a hardened, properly monitored Linux system, Audit D is something I don't see talked about very often, but is very useful. Because you can literally get a log event for every executable that runs. Now, you probably shouldn't get to that level with it because you'll run your system down and fill the disk with logs. But, you know, and he does go into some guides about what to log, managing the noise, you know, how to handle it. But it's certainly a good idea, you know, if you're running a web server, for example, to log things like file modifications, to log things like weird command executions, to log, you know, certain executables spinning up that you're not expecting. Or hell, just give it a list of the known hacking tools. Like if you see nmap or, TCP dump or SSH fire up, you know, the SSH client fire up, generate a log, right? Because then, but... It's a nice write-up. It's a good place to start, and it is something I don't see talked about a lot, so I like highlighting that. But that's all we have for tonight, of course. Listen to the show. We're always working on it. Peer Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, CyberLarge, Psychros, Herats, Madman, and myself. No coffee maker, unfortunately. I don't know what happened to the coffee maker. Madman.
It realized it shouldn't be on the fucking internet. Disconnected. Same thing with the thermostat in the fridge. I want all appliances off the internet. It wasn't made for you. It's made for porn, video games, pirating shit, and maybe by getting a pizza sent to my house without talking to a human being. Not made for appliances. That's why it's not here anymore.
So, did you have any other closing thoughts, Madman?
The internet's also not meant for foundries. Anything that has 15,000 degrees Fahrenheit, I shouldn't be able to click a button and see what it does to it. So, foundries, not on the internet as well. That's about it.
All right. Argue, closing thoughts.
Joe Rogan, who would expect the man would be our hero? I mean, not only do he do a show, you know, he's pissing people off, but in good news, Barbara Streisand will remove all her music off Spotify. Well done, Joe. You've made the world a better place. Thank you. No more Barbara Streisand.
All right. Sound effects time.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Down, go nose down and call the night.
Nobody exists!
Shut up, Wesley.
Oh, I'm going to Google this.
Why is the broadcast box not coming up? Might help if I hit the right damn button.